While it is wise to observe things that are alike, it is also wise to look for things that differ. For when the imagination is carried away by the detection of points of resemblance, one of the most pleasing of mental pursuits, it is apt to be impatient of any divergence in its newfound parallels, and so may overlook or refuse to recognize such. Thus the galley and the steamship have in common, though unequally developed, the important characteristic mentioned, but in at least two points they differ, and in an appeal to the history of the galleys for lessons as to fighting steamships, the differences as well as the likeness must be kept steadily in view, or false deductions may be made. The motive power of the galley, when in use, necessarily and rapidly declined, because human strength could not long maintain such exhausting efforts, and consequently tactical movements could continue but for a limited time. And again, during the galley period, offensive weapons were not only of short range, but were almost wholly confined to hand-to-hand encounter. These two conditions led almost necessarily to a rush upon each other, not, however, without some dexterous attempts to turn or double on the enemy, followed by a hand-to-hand melee. In such a rush and such a melee, a great consensus of respectable, even eminent, naval opinion of the present day finds the necessary outcome of modern naval weapons a kind of Donnybrook Fair, in which, as the history of melee shows, it will be hard to know friend from foe. Whatever may prove to be the worth of this opinion, it cannot claim an historical basis in the sole fact that galley and steamship can move at any moment directly upon the enemy, and carry a beak upon their prow, regardless of the points in which galley and steamship differ. As yet, this opinion is only a presumption, upon which final judgment may well be deferred until the trial of battle has given a further light. Until that time, there is room for the opposite view, that a melee between numerically equal fleets, in which skill is reduced to a minimum, is not the best that can be done with the elaborate and mighty weapons of this age. The surer of himself an admiral is, the finer the tactical development of his fleet, the better his captains, the more reluctant must he necessarily be to enter into a melee with equal forces, in which all these advantages will be thrown away, chance reign supreme, and his fleet be placed on terms of equality with an assemblage of ships which have never before acted together. History has lessons as to when melees are or are not in order. The galley, then, has one striking resemblance to the steamer, but differs in other important features, which are not so immediately apparent, and are therefore less accounted of. In the sailing ship, on the contrary, the striking feature is the difference between it and the more modern vessel. The points of resemblance, though existing and easy to find, are not so obvious, and therefore are less heeded. This impression is enhanced by the sense of utter weakness in the sailing ship as compared with the steamer, owing to its dependence upon the wind, forgetting that, as the former fought with its equals, the tactical lessons are valid. The galley was never reduced to impotence by a calm, and hence receives more respect in our day than the sailing ship. Yet the latter displaced it, and remained supreme until the utilization of steam. The powers to injure an enemy from a great distance, to maneuver for an unlimited length of time without wearing out the men, to devote the greater part of the crew to the offensive weapons instead of to the oar, are common to the sailing vessel and the steamer, and are at least as important, tactically considered, as the power of the galley to move in a calm or against the wind. In tracing resemblances, there is a tendency not only to overlook points of difference, but to exaggerate points of likeness, to be fanciful. It may be so considered to point out that as the sailing ship had guns of long range, with comparatively great penetrative power, and cannonades, which were of shorter range but great smashing effect, so the modern steamer has its batteries of long-range guns and of torpedoes, the latter being effective only within a limited distance, and then injuring by smashing, while the gun, as of old, aims at penetration. Yet these are distinctly tactical considerations which must